Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are getting ready to wrap up their latest series in San Francisco, and Jesse Agler's here to break it all down and to explain some relatively obvious Twitter hashtags.
Remember, on Twitter, you can use the hashtag PadresSH to join our conversation. Somebody actually asked me a few minutes ago, they go, why SH? I said, social hour. They said, oh.
Also in studio and filling his particular role quite nicely, it's Bill Center.
I'm Jesse's, he's the organ grinder. I'm the monkey in this program.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler, and back here in the AMR studio, things are back to normal, so to speak. Yesterday, abnormal, but for a very good reason. We had the Pedal the Cause radio telethon going here at Petco Park. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but we had more people here. We were talking about things more important than baseball. We were raising money for a great cause. These couches were gone. And how about Blooper?
Put it all back together.
He put it all back. First of all, I didn't think he was necessarily capable of getting it all back together, much less it works. Like, I can hear you. You can hear me. Right. We're on the air. All of those things. Way to go, Blooper. Seriously, not just getting the set back together. And it wasn't just Blooper, but obviously it's his operation. And yesterday, that was a lot of work for Seth. That was a lot of work. There were a lot of crazy things going on. And seriously, man, you were awesome. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
No,
good job.
Welcome. Thank
Except
you.
One of the chairs is out of place.
Well, you know, that's offset. That's
right.
Okay. We don't worry about what can't be seen from here.
All right. Okay.
That's not a thing we need to concern ourselves with. Why are you picking on the kid? You should have seen it yesterday. It was a madhouse.
You know what? I saw part of the telethon. I thought you guys did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, I was stunned to find out that...
Well, don't give the number out. We're about to do that.
No. Okay. I wasn't going to give that out. But the news on Peter Seidler, which I thought those couple of minutes were absolutely riveting.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
Padres lead investor Peter Seidler talking about his personal battle with cancer. And they found more, you know, this past year.
Right.
And went back for treatment. And very, very recently, given that clean bill of health from the doctors, I just can't imagine.
No, neither can I. And the way he talked about it was just, I mean, anybody who goes through that. I've had my mom passed away of pancreatic cancer. So did my wife. Susan's mom passed away of pancreatic cancer, and my sister's had it. It's just amazing to go through that. And high marks. Just the way that Peter was talking about it, that really impressed me.
Yeah, no, it was a really special moment, one of many special moments yesterday on the telethon. And, of course, the whole purpose of the thing was to raise money. We don't have the final number yet. They're still calculating. That's how much money was raised. The old adding machine is still at work here the next morning. But obviously we had the telethon that ran all afternoon. And then throughout the game on Fox Sports San Diego, continuing to raise more money. The last update we had, take a look at this from yesterday, nearly $80,000. That was from late last night. I imagine that number will end up a little bit higher than that. But thank you, San Diego, for everything you did to contribute to this cause. And, of course, the Pedal the Cause ride is next weekend, and that's its own massive fundraising thing. This is all extra. This is icing on the cake, as they say. This is all on top of everything else that would have been raised anyway. So about $80,000 extra going to these cancer research centers here in San Diego.
Congratulations.
No, congratulations to everybody.
Right.
That was awesome.
That is amazing. That's awesome.
Very cool. All right, so that was yesterday. Again, encourage people to get involved in any way they can. Volunteer, ride, raise money, donate, anything you can do. GoPedal.org, GoPedal.org. Padres, back to baseball. Not so awesome last night.
Do we have to?
I guess we kind of do. You know, had last night's game taken place on Friday, we wouldn't have had to talk about it because we had the telethon yesterday and
right.
We didn't talk about the Padre game. But last night's game happened last night, and so I think we do have to talk about it. Madison Bumgarner. But I will stall for a couple more moments. We do have to talk about it. We do have to talk about Bumgarner's one hitter. But a great story. NFL season underway, obviously. Chargers playing the Lions later this afternoon. And one of the funniest things I've ever heard happened to you as right. you were coming in to Petco Park. So we do this show from the Western Metal Building.
Right.
Everybody knows that. We're here in the back of the team store during home games. Please come by and say hello. So you're coming in today.
Right. I'm walking
tell
in
me
from
what
the
happened.
Parking lot. And there are three guys with number 81 Johnson shirts.
Calvin Johnson.
Right.
Detroit Lions.
Lions.
Megatron.
Lions, right. Lions. And they're looking around, and one guy stops me, and he says, when do they open the gates here? And my response was, about a week and a half. Because I'm thinking, they're thinking next Padre game. And he goes, no. He says, you know, we're here to see the Lions. And I go, you are in the wrong spot. I said, that's Qualcomm Stadium. That's out in the valley. And now they're panicked. The one guy's saying, how do we get there? How, you know, what do we do? Gosh, we're going to miss the start of the game. And I said, no, you just go about two blocks to the east here. You catch the trolley marked San Diego to Qualcomm Stadium, and you'll be there in a half hour.
So that was nice. You
right.
gave them the information that they need. But they were trying to come to Petco Park.
They were trying to come to Petco
so
Park.
So think about this. You're from out of town. You plan a trip to go see your NFL team, and you all the details that go into that, the travel and the airfare or the drive, whatever you do, a place to stay.
I didn't
you
ask
get
him
tickets
they,
right. to the game, and you don't even think to look at where the stadium is. And by the way, it's not like the Chargers once played downtown. They've been there since when?
Right.
When? Like forever.
Well, I don't know when the last time the Lions were in here, and I don't know. I didn't ask these guys where they were from, but it was just sort of like, oh, okay, how do we get there? So they must have been staying down here. They must have saw the lights or something.
Sure, yeah. Oh, why wouldn't I want to stay downtown?
Right.
That's where all the great
right.
restaurants and bars right. are. That I mean, sure, it makes sense if you're coming in from out of town for a football game to stay downtown.
Right.
You know, sure, I get that. I get that. Doesn't mean the game's downtown. I don't understand, man. Like, again, if you're going to go through all of the trouble of planning this trip, and whether they were coming from Detroit or rural Michigan or whether they were just down from L.A. and they happen to be big Calvin Johnson fans, whatever it is, you got to at least know where. I hope they had tickets. I hope they didn't accidentally buy tickets to, like, last April's Tigers game here against the Padres.
Well, the thing that really got me when, you know, it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, I was walking in about 10:45, and, like, there's nobody here.
Right. That might be a good sign.
Would have been the first clue that this is
like
the
it's
place.
An NFL game. It's going to be a madhouse.
I have a feeling they had a couple last night to celebrate being here.
None of that matters. You have to know where the stadium is. It's really funny, though.
It was pretty good.
Like, again, it would be something different if it was a baseball fan that went to Qualcomm looking for the Padre game. And, you know, maybe they haven't been here in 20 years. And they go, yeah, no, I remember, you know, Qualcomm Stadium. And maybe they're just that out of it. But, the Chargers have never played down here. Maybe they're optimistic about a downtown football stadium.
Downtown
yeah.
stadium,
maybe,
right.
Maybe they're excited about the possibility of that coming up.
But
the
one guy just looked at me like, oh, you know, we're going to miss it. I said, no, you're really pretty lucky. You just go down. You'll be the first people on the train that's going to be filled by the time you get there.
Yeah, you'll get your seats. You
right,
won't have
gonna,
to stand.
You're going to get seats.
So that's positive. What an unbelievable story.
That was funny.
That's pretty funny. Man.
What time do the gates open?
Like, bro, seriously? There's nobody around. It's a quiet Sunday morning. What time do the gates open? Like, not even thinking that, this doesn't look right.
Right.
Take out your phone. Quick Google. Ask Siri. Hey, Siri, where do the Chargers play?
That's why I'm thinking.
Siri's
really
worthless.
Thinking,
I wonder if she can answer that, though. Hold
they
on.
Had a pretty good night in the gas lamp last night.
Hey, Siri, where do the Chargers play? Again, I've never had success with Siri. No, she gave me a roster. Oh, well.
Okay.
But anyway, you could Google it. And you could figure it out from there. Qualcomm Stadium is the answer to that question for anyone who might not know.
They should make the opening kickoff.
I mean, they deserve not to, in all honesty. I hope they got on the wrong trolley and they're down in Tijuana.
For San Ysidro?
Yeah, why not? They get down to the border and they just walk right over and they're like, we're going to see Calvin Johnson.
Well, there'll be a crowd down there at
yeah,
least.
Yeah, exactly. All right, anyway, that's the way Bill's day got started. He was asked by some Lions fans what time the gates open here at Petco Park for the big football game downtown. Brutal. I love your answer, though. About a week and a half. All right. Giants 8, Padres nothing. That was the final score last night. That was not the story last night. The story was Madison Bumgarner. When we come back, we'll talk about his one-hitter and his bid for perfection. We'll take your Twitter questions and comments. The hashtag is PadresSH. Hashtag PadresSH to jump in socially. And we'll obviously talk about today's game as well. Odrysimer Despaigne will be on the hill, not Colin Ray. We've got some new information that Pat Murphy passed along this morning about why Despaigne and not Ray. Last night we heard there was some tightness in the forearm and elbow area for Colin Ray, and so they were just going to back off a little bit. No reason to push it. It's all precautionary. We do have some more info on Colin Ray's arm, and we'll give that to you when we come back. Hey, we've talked a lot about it. The Padres want you to join Pedal the Cause and help raise money for San Diego's cancer-fighting centers. You can ride, be a virtual rider, or donate. So join Team Padres or ride on your own. Anybody can ride. To learn more, to register, to donate, to volunteer, go to sdpedal.org, sdpedal.org. It's coming up next weekend. We'll take a break, come back, give you the latest on Colin Ray's arm, and talk about last night's loss to San Francisco. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. What time do the gates open?
About a week and a half.
Here at the AMR studio at Petco Park, that was the question and answer. Bill received the question from some Lions fans and gave them that answer.
They were here. I thought I was being smart. I thought I was being smart, and turns out that I was, I didn't know you were. I really didn't know at the time that they were confused.
You thought they were being serious?
Yeah, no, I just thought that they were wondering if there was a game today here. And right. Then it dawned on me.
You saw their Calvin Johnson jerseys.
Right. I wasn't really looking at Calvin Johnson. Right, and I was like, uh-oh, you guys are in the wrong place.
Yes, they are. Well, it was very nice of you. You were a good Samaritan to send them the right direction. All right, I postponed it enough.
Right.
Last night, 8-0, sure. Madison Bumgarner, 7 2/3 perfect innings. Melvin Upton Jr. comes off the bench with the pinch hit single with two outs in the 8th inning. That was, by the way, legitimate hard hit, well struck ball up the middle. There was nothing goofy about it. There was nothing silly about it. There was no official score coming into play. It was just a nice hit. Bumgarner was Bumgarner, man. He was at his absolute best. He certainly got some help from Buster Posey, who does a sensational job framing pitches. But he was around the plate all night.
Right.
I mean, there weren't a lot of crazy ones from this ball game. And it's, tip your cap, blah, 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 to Madison Bumgarner. But for a Padre team that has been shut out as many times as they have this year, this was sort of the coup de grace, I guess, or whatever the obnoxious French-sounding term is for what took place. I was a little surprised when Bumgarner came out for the 9th inning, just at this point in the season, number of pitches he had thrown. The game was at hand, but I guess I should have learned last October what Madison Bumgarner is made of, and I can't imagine he would have allowed Bruce Bochy to not let him finish that one last night.
He wants to finish. Like he said during the World Series, I work once every 5 days. I want to work a full shift. So, he was going to come out and finish that game. And it was, I thought last night when I was some of the time when I was spent watching that, he was hitting every spot there was to hit. Buster Posey really didn't have to move all night long.
Right.
I mean, he just set up the glove. Bumgarner hit the spot. It was really one of the best pitched games that I've seen. In fact, I hate to say it, that it was a little bit Melvin got a really good, nice base hit. But that's almost one where you're rooting for the guy because there were no flukes to it. There was no question.
You were rooting for the guy?
Every once in a while, you got to just say, this is something you don't see very often. A perfect game? Yeah.
No.
Never.
Not for me. No. I don't want to see my team not reach base. Now, look, I can say I was impressed.
Right.
I give him all the credit. He was sensational last
right.
night. I would never suggest otherwise. I mean, I guess that's obvious. He was, perfect into
right.
the eighth. But I don't want to see it. I was very happy.
Okay.
Now, I didn't set off a firework when Melvin Upton got the base hit. It was more of a sense of relief.
Now, as soon as Melvin got the hit, I wanted to see him go down in flames.
Sure, just let it unravel.
Right. But until that time, you got a chance to witness history.
It's not like you were there. You're watching on television.
Well, yeah, but it's still you're seeing something that just doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
Although it seems to happen to the Padres almost once a year against
That's
the Giants.
That's what I was going to say. After Timmy did his thing the last couple of
right.
years, I'm good.
You're fine.
I'm,
you don't want to see
I'm
it
set.
Anymore.
Right? All good.
See, now, I didn't want to see Lincecum throw the no-hitters. The no-hitters are a completely different thing. I mean,
it's common enough that you're not excited
right.
to see it.
But the perfect game.
How many no-hitters have you seen in person?
In person? 4.
Okay.
Right.
So that's common to you at this point.
Well, yeah, but and then there have been no hitters, but the strive for perfection, like Cashner a couple years ago in Pittsburgh when he came close, that perfection I want to see. I mean,
I would love to see a perfect game in person. I would prefer greatly it was the Padres throwing it, or it was just at a random game I was at. I don't want to see the Padres get perfectoed, even if I am at the game. And it is cool to be there, because you're right, there have been so few over the years. I've never seen a perfect game in person. I've seen one no-hitter in person. By the way, about as random a no-hitter as exists, Aníbal Sanchez as a Marlin. I was at that one. But it's like I don't know. Like, I don't want it to happen, my team. I just don't. You know, even if 20 years later you look back and you go, "Hey, man, it was a bad year." But, hey, at least I got to watch history. No, I don't. That's not me. That's not what I want to see. The crazy thing when you talk about Bumgarner, by the way, is last night was either his best start of the year or his second best start of the year, depending on how you want to look at it. His most recent complete game against Washington was a three-hitter, but he struck out 14.
Right.
Last night, a one-hitter, and he struck out 9. Column A, column B, you could argue either, easily. You could argue either as his best start of the year. What you could not argue is that his worst start of the year was also against the Padres here back in April. Kind of a strange
deal.
When
he gave up the 10 hits, and he was terrible that night.
Terrible!
Absolutely could not find any – he could not find the spots to hit to save his life. That was as bad as I've seen Madison Bumgarner. And after that game, there was even talk about what's wrong with Bumgarner. I mean,
that's right.
There was. Oh man, is he gone? Is he? They overworked him. Has he hit this hole? What's wrong with him?
Yeah, overworked in October. Right. That's rearing its head in April.
Right.
Here we are. A couple months
later. Remember
those?
Right. Okay. Fine.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point.
Now I have actually seen one of the worst no hitters ever.
AJ Burnett. That's one of your four.
Right. At Qualcomm.
Yeah. That's where the Lions fans are on their way to.
Right.
Yeah.
just your regular. A 9-walk no-hitter.
Yeah. You don't even – like, he shouldn't even get credit for that one.
Well, that's – right. I agree with you.
That, like, it's his own fault or something.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know.
He was all over the place.
Of course there were no hits because he couldn't throw a strike.
Right.
How many pitches did he throw that night? Like 178?
No, it was like 135 or something.
Crazy.
That's, right. It was weird, though. I mean, 9 walks and a no-hitter.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, but I saw the Doc Ellis when he was on LSD. I saw that no-hitter.
That's a good one. Have you watched the documentary yet?
No, I have not seen the documentary.
I haven't either. It's on Netflix. I forget what it's called, but it's pretty easy to find. It's about that day and with Doc Ellis and everything like that. So I haven't yet watched it this year. Maybe I'll watch that on the road this week. You know, but it looks pretty good, and I've heard really good things about it. But, yeah, no, that's a neat one to say you were there for. That is one that 30 years later, 40 years later, you can be like, hey, it sucked because the Padres got no hit. But, I mean, that's like of all the regular season no-hitters that have taken place, that's one of the most discussed for obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, Doc Ellis, man. All right, so that's last night, I guess. You know, it's funny because in these perfect games and these no-hitters, there's always a couple of those plays, right? Defensively, a couple of those moments where you go, uh-oh. You know, I feel like this is going to happen where, you know, somebody makes a crazy catch or there's a weird hop on something that helps out the defensive team and helps out the pitcher. And there were a couple nice plays defensively for the Giants through those first 7 2/3 innings. But I don't know that there was necessarily one where I was like, oh, gosh, this is happening, which was maybe the one thing that kept me sane up until the point when Melvin Upton finally got the base hit.
When Norris hit the line drive to the second baseman,
yeah.
That was probably the best hit ball. And then after the hit, the play in the hole by the shortstop, that was the best play of the game.
Yeah,
right.
That was a really nice play.
Right.
That was a really nice play. So that was one of the things that made me feel a little bit better about it. You know, there is actually other stuff to talk about from yesterday's game besides Madison Bumgarner's quest for perfection. Defensively for the Padres, not for the Giants, for the Padres, a couple of not-so-awesome moments. And it's it's easy to overlook that because reality is doesn't matter. You know, they didn't come close to touching Bumgarner, and I don't care if the score was 1-0 or 8-0. He's not changing his approach and that kind of thing. But you know, Ian Kennedy, a couple two-out walks in the fourth, I believe it was, and then Upton loses that ball in left field. That kind of got things going. A couple moments where it spiraled defensively for Kennedy, a couple of tough moments for the Padres defensively. Again, I don't think any of it had anything to do with the result of the game, but I don't think that it should be overlooked either.
No, I agree with you, and I got to be honest right now. The Padres are not playing sharp baseball. It's been about 5 days since they've really put a game all together, and I really want to see them pick it up again before the season. I don't want to see this season's – I mean, it's already a disappointment. Everybody's got to admit that. But I don't want to see it spiral into just this playing it out, and I want to see some sharp baseball again.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair, and I think, you know, at this point, 2 weeks plus to go, you know, you say, what's your goal for the Padres? And that might be it.
Right.
Is to just look better and
play sharp.
Yeah. And look, if you get beat like last night, you got beat.
Right.
That didn't need to be 8-0, though,
no.
Last night. The nothing was probably going to happen because of Bumgarner. He was that good. But you're right. You know, see some more sharpness in the field. See some more sharpness on the mound. You know, some more sharpness on the plate as well. Although I think, again, last night, that, you know, I'm not blaming the offense. I'm giving credit to Madison Bumgarner. But I think, you know, that's a question we are going to get a lot the rest of the way, and that's a nice response for it. Let's see them look sharper.
Right. I had a college coach who would call the plays like the one Upton didn't make last night. He would refer to those as tired plays, that you just didn't give the complete total effort needed to make the play that you should make. Mm-hmm. And he would always refer to him as tired plays. So that's how I sort of view him too. You just got to go a little bit harder, make those plays. You're still a professional.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to make an observation. Can I make an observation?
That's what
right
you're here
now,
for. You're here right. To observe. What do you observe about – never mind. Go
right.
ahead.
Right now, the Padres are a little bit of the team that the Padres of the last 4 or 5 years would take advantage of at the end of the season. In other words, the Padres of the last 4 or 5 years would always play hard through the very last games of the season.
Pick up some wins.
And they'd pick up some wins against teams that were not playing very well and they were just sort of playing to play out the season. Right now, I see the roles reversed a little bit, that these Padres are not playing sharp ball right now.
And they are being taken advantage of.
Right.
Nope, that's, I think, a very fair observation and something that they can correct at any moment. And,
right.
And you hope that that moment is this afternoon in San Francisco, and if not, then tomorrow night in Arizona. It's a long trip, you know. It's a 9-game, 10-day trip. It's the last time you're really away. They do play the final 3 games of the year at Dodger Stadium. But the last true trip, you know, for the team this year, it's a long stretch. You're away from home. You're in the hotels. But it's like, hey, this is it. This is let's get it going here. And then you come into that final homestand of the season, hopefully a little bit sharper.
This malaise started a little bit at the end of the last homestand that we saw.
I mean,
so, yeah, it's time to pick it up. Time to finish as a pro.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a good observation and well said. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, I got some Twitter questions coming in about Colin Ray. In addition to some other things, we'll give you the very latest news on the young Padre right-hander who was scratched from his start today. Odrysimer Despaigne will take to the hill against Mike Leake, who, of course, played for Pat Murphy at Arizona State. Also talk a little bit more about some of the notes from last night's game against the Giants. And in addition to that, we'll look forward a little bit to next year. John Heyman of CBS Sports had some interesting things in his Friday column that we talked a little bit about on Friday's show. We'll get to more of that here this afternoon. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy 2 select tires and get 2 free with quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy 2, get 2. Take a break. Come back. Your Twitter questions and comments. Plus, an update on Colin Ray when we return. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, from the AMR studio at Petco Park, not Qualcomm Stadium. Detroit Lion fan trying to get into Petco Park for today's opener. Petco Park, where baseball is played. Padres, though, will not play baseball here because they will play baseball in San Francisco at AT&T Park. Final game at that place this season for the Padres. Tomorrow off in Arizona, not off, I should say, on, I guess, in Arizona. Right. They play the Diamondbacks. That's a straightforward way of saying what I'm trying to say. Three games against the Snakes, off day Thursday, and then next weekend in Colorado, final trip to Coors Field for the season.
I want to see him. I want to see him have a nice pick up four wins or so before they come home.
I like that. I like that. By the way, I will be in those places, so not here.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. I'm working with Mr. Grant on the television during the Arizona-Colorado series. So we'll have other people doing the show here.
You guys form a nice team.
Yeah, we have fun together.
Right.
I mean, how could you not have fun with Mark
right.
Grant? He is the like most fun. Like I'm used to you, and then I get to go to Mud, and it's like, oh, this is great.
I agree, because your sense of humors and personality sort of mesh on TV.
Oh well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. He makes it very easy for me. So last night, the Bumgarner game, blah blah blah. Matt Kemp had his streak come to an end. Obviously, I guess he had reached base in 31 consecutive games, but when Madison Bumgarner allows one base runner, it turned out not to be to Matt Kemp. And so that streak, a very impressive one, comes to a close. On the other side, by the way, yesterday, Buster Posey had an 11-game hitting streak ended by the Padre pitching staff. So that's something.
You know, the Kemp streak was the longest in Padre's history since the longest on-base streak. Do you know which one? Do you know who held that record?
Klesko?
Yes.
Okay.
56 straight games.
Which is crazy.
Right.
By the way.
Right. And that was before this streak. That was the longest on-base streak.
So. How about that?
Right. So he only had another 24 games to go to tie.
That gives you an idea of
right.
how impressive that Klesko streak is.
That was a very impressive streak.
And, of course, we're talking about getting on base, not just a hitting streak, which is something a little bit different.
Right.
All right, let's go out to the Twitter. Friar Fever is up first. He says, looks like Blooper has his Buffalo Bills fandom on display today. Blooper has gone full Bills. He is very excited, apparently, about the start of the National Football League season. And the Bills, by the way, are all over the Colts. Who would have thought? But, yes, take a look at Blooper here. You got a shot of yourself? I'm sure you do. Bills, jersey, hat, cutoff shorts, Toms. He looks completely ridiculous.
Straight out of the double wide.
Yeah, exactly. In the tailgate lot at Ralph Wilson Stadium. No, that's something. When is that? That's a 90s hat, right? That's got to be from like 1994.
Yeah, it's from, I think the copyright on it says like 93.
93.
Yeah.
So I was close.
Copyright.
Copyright on the hat.
Yeah. I don't want to say how old it was when I bought it.
No, I mean, you bought it used, I imagine?
Yes.
That's yeah.
On
that's
eBay.
Nothing like a used baseball cap.
Right.
To
no
purchase on the internet.
Whose head had been in there before.
It couldn't have been any worse than whose head it's on right. now, so
well,
that's fair.
This head probably might not have lice. We don't know about the other one.
I wouldn't necessarily count your chickens on that either. all right, back to baseball. Ed, cranky Ed, not super cranky, even after the one-hitter. Ed asks, hey, Jesse and Bill, is San Diego becoming the home of bum arms? Seems to be more than normal instances of arm problems now with Ray. Two things here. One, Bill will update us in a moment on the very latest news on Colin Ray. Two, Ed, it's not a Padres thing. It's a baseball thing.
Right.
They're right there with everybody else. And, in fact, probably fewer than many teams. I don't have it in front of me. I would guess very average when it comes to these elbow injuries. It is everywhere in baseball. And I know when you're not, you know, closely following the Orioles or whoever, it can feel like, oh, man, it's just happening
it's
to
all
my
right
team.
Here,
it
right.
isn't all right. It's all across baseball. It's really an incredibly massive story around baseball. But there in no way, shape, or form are the Padres out in front of that situation.
No, in fact, two of the guys we've talked about all year, Brandon Morrow and Josh Johnson, their problems actually started with other teams. And when they got here, they continued. But, no, it just doesn't start with the Padres. It doesn't end with the Padres. It's throughout the game.
Yes.
But the Ray thing.
Yeah, so what's the latest on Colin Ray?
Well, this is more of a precaution that he's had the same feelings when he started before. And Pat Murphy said they're not alarmed by it. They're not overly concerned. What they might do is that they expect him to pitch again this year, but he might not start anymore because of the load that he's already had on his arm. He's never pitched into September before as a minor leaguer. So they may use him out of the bullpen, which means somebody else. I would imagine now they're talking about calling up another starter. They've got two other starters on the 40-man, Robbie Erlin and Casey Kelly, both of whom pitched at El Paso at the end of the year. So it doesn't look like he's going to start anymore, but they're not overly concerned about this. They just don't want it to get worse.
By the way, if they call up Robbie Erlin and he starts a game, he would become the first left-handed pitcher to start a game for the Padres this
year. Right.
How wild is that?
In fact, I think it was since Robbie Erlin last started that the streak's been on.
The last game of last season.
Right.
In San Francisco was the last time the Padres started a lefty, and it was, as you said, Robbie Erlin at AT&T Park. So who knows? Maybe he starts the last game of this year in Los Angeles, and the whole thing comes
ends the full streak circle. Right.
Yeah. By the way, the reason those two guys could be available to the Padres, not the reason, but a reason, I guess, a contributing reason, would be that the Chihuahuas playoff run has come to an end.
Right. They lost last night. Hunter Renfro hit two home runs that counted for all four El Paso runs, but they lost 7-4 to Fresno. Fresno goes to the PCL Finals.
So there you go. That's it for the Chihuahuas. A nice run, though, and
right.
They had a couple really exciting home playoff games. Heard that, you know, the place was just absolutely buzzing, as you would expect.
Standing room only Friday night.
That's awesome. That's
right.
Awesome. Meanwhile, tonight, or today maybe, I'm not sure.
Tonight.
Tonight, thank you. Tri-Cities, the Padres affiliate in the Northwest League, has a chance to bring home a title.
Winner take all against the Hillsboro Hops.
The Hops.
Right, of Hillsboro, Oregon. Play at in Pasco, Washington tonight, home of Tri-City. For the Northwest League title.
That's very cool. So they have an opportunity to win a championship
right.
tonight. It's rookie ball.
Rookie ball, but the first year that they're in Tri-City.
Yes.
Eugene sort of wanted the Cubs. They got the Cubs. And what happens is Tri-City gets a possible championship team.
Pretty cool. First year as an affiliate for the Padres, and they've got that opportunity, as we said, to take home the bacon tonight. So that's pretty cool. All right, we'll step aside. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about next year. Not that we're looking past these final 2.5-3 weeks of the season, but some interesting things being written about the Padres over the weekend. We'll discuss those with Bill. Also, more of your Twitter questions and comments. Use that hashtag PadresSH. The hashtag is PadresSH. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break. Come back. Talk about the future with Bill Center. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. Bill Center, Jesse Agler hanging out on what is now a Sunday afternoon, less than an hour away from first pitch at AT&T Park in San Francisco. Final game of the series between the Padres and the Giants. Odrysimer Despaigne getting the start in place of Colin Ray. Precautionary there against Mike Leake, who is 0-3 in five starts with the Giants since coming over from Cincinnati. You know, we're so used to San Francisco making these magical late-season trades the last couple of years. Leake, I mean, he's been fine, but he hasn't won. Marlon Byrd has had an unbelievable weekend, but it hasn't helped them move forward in the standings. And, in fact, right now, San Francisco, 7.5 games in back of the Dodgers, but they are still playing like they've got a shot at this thing.
Until you're eliminated, you got a shot. And, you know, you don't know what could happen in a wild card race, but that's even a wilder shot right now than
– they're farther out of that
right,
than
winning
the Dodgers,
West.
Yeah.
Right, there are really only chances to win the West. But I don't see the Giants doing it this year, quite honestly. I'm not that impressed with that team right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're missing some really key pieces.
Exactly.
Their middle infield is gone right now. That's a good place to start.
Hunter Pence,
not there again. Aoki has been in and out, it seems like, all season long. But, yeah, Crawford and Panic, the shortstop and second baseman, key pieces. And they've had injury stuff this year, and it's caught up with them a little bit.
And their pitching hasn't been as consistent. So I just don't see them going anywhere, to be perfectly honest.
I agree. You know, but they're playing out the string, able to throw Madison Bumgarner every 5 days. That's pretty impressive. But anyway, you know, 7.5 back, you never know. I guess crazier things have happened in baseball. Blue Jays, meanwhile, some news about Troy Tulowitzki's shoulder. So he left a game this weekend, and everybody's like, because talk about a trade that has really pushed a team forward. It was one of these weird collisions in the outfield, and they say he's got a crack in his shoulder, a small crack in his shoulder. I mean, you talk about, you know, a relatively innocent-looking thing that turns out to be a big deal. At first, they were saying Tulo is going to be out indefinitely. Now they're saying 2-3 weeks for Troy Tulowitzki, which is good news for the Jays that he'll be back, you would imagine, for the very end of the regular season or at least the beginning of the playoffs. But, I mean, he has been huge for them.
Right.
Huge for them.
And, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, that doesn't mean that he's going to be 100% right. When the playoffs start. If they're, you know, considering they're in the playoffs, you don't, you know, something like that.
They're up 4.5 games now on the
right.
Yankees.
But it could be, you know, you could collapse off of something like that. This guy was an important part that sort of brought them together. You know, that was, when I saw that play, when I saw the replay, that was one of those plays where it was like the collision wasn't that hard. They weren't running full speed, but everybody was a little bit off balance and out of whack, and that's when you really get hurt.
Yes, that's a good point.
Right, it's just one of those freak things. If you hit in the right spot, it doesn't make any difference if you're going fast enough. Something's going to give.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's one of those weird right. physical things that can take place.
He was sort of stretched out and leaning back, and it was just like – When I first saw it on TV, I first saw it on a replay before they had said that he was seriously hurt. And when I saw it, I thought, well, that's awkward. And then it turns out that he is hurt pretty badly.
Yeah. So anyway, 2 to 3 weeks, and you made a great point. When he comes back, what is he?
Right.
And so, all right, we'll see what happens with the Jays. 4.5 lead on the Yanks in the American League East. All right, back to the Padres. John Heyman, CBS, wrote some things over the weekend about, like every team, he does one of those giant notes columns. But he said some interesting stuff about the Padres, and he said that they are still considering, per his sources, from a roster standpoint, quote, whether to tweak or completely retool the roster, which I guess makes sense. Because this, you know, it sounds like one of those things you sort of assess once the offseason reaches us. But tweak or retool? Do you have a sense, you know, which way? Like, how would you do it, I guess, would be the question.
Well, I think that the team has set up the fact that they want to be competitive year in, year out. So I doubt that they're going to retool. I think they're going to be a lot of tweaking. It's going to be a very interesting offseason because – they've got some options at first base. They've got two really quality catchers. It's going to be interesting to see, to me, what parts they decide to move, what parts they decide to keep, and how it all sort of fits in next year.
Yeah. So you think more tweak.
Right. I think more tweak.
I agree. You know, I mean, look, Justin Upton very well may not be here. He's going to be a free agent,
right.
You know, and you can't predict that sort of thing. I guess where do we draw the line between tweak and retool? You know, it's an easy thing to say, well, they're very different, but I could see something almost in the middle of that. I think it's maybe a big tweak.
Right.
Is that like a reasonable thing for me to say? I mean, do you start and you say, well, they're going to have X number of different starters than they did opening day this year, or guys are going to be in different positions?
In my mind, their two most valuable players moving forward would probably be Myers. The ones you get the most for would be Myers and Tyson Ross. And if you were to trade those two parts,
that's a retooling.
Okay, because you've traded your two most valuable, your two really valuable commodities. Now, if you move a Doris or a Hedges to improve elsewhere, I think that's tweaking. And
okay.
I can see them doing that. I got one for you.
Sure.
When you look at this team next year, and you know Myers, I'm sure Myers is going to be a part of it, and Kemp's going to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you talk to Matt Kemp in the offseason about possibly playing first base so that you can improve your outfield defense?
Maybe. But, I mean, look, you're talking about a first base position. All right, Yonder Alonso's hurt, so let's just kind of put him aside for the moment. You know, we've seen Myers at first.
Right.
We've seen Norris at first, which
right.
gives Hedges an opportunity to bring
catch,
some, you know,
right.
defensive whatever to the game. So, I mean, are we adding – is it just going to be a rotation of guys at first base? Is that your idea?
No. I want to see somebody there full time. But I'm thinking that, okay, if you've got Norris at first, if you keep him, and you've got Hedges catching, Norris at first, Kemp and right, Myers and left, you've got something.
Right.
If you don't bring Upton back. But Kemp's ability to cover large spaces in right is the only thing that seems to be diminished in his game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking if you've got Myers to play a corner outfielder and Norris, if you trade him, if you decide to help elsewhere, might you be better suited with Kemp at first and Norris in right? I mean,
you're Myers talking about like if X, Y, Z, A, B, and C right. all take but, place, but, then would you like Matt Kemp at first base? I'm not going down that road
but
yet. But
there are so many options that they've got that I think that's one that you would think about too.
Sure, why not? I mean, I think, and this is why these conversations are always silly in September because you know last September we'd be like, well, what about Everett Cabrera? And I mean, my goodness, it's like the last guy you've ever thought of this entire season. You know, right now Jed Jerko is getting a lot of playing time at shortstop.
That's my next question.
Okay.
For you. Do you think that that next season shortstop is here?
I think it's either not here or it's Jed Jerko.
That's a great answer to that question.
I think if it's somebody who is – I think on opening day, it's either Jed Jerko at shortstop or somebody who's not here yet. That's what I think about the shortstop position. I feel pretty comfortable with it over there. I really do. He's working hard with Clint Barmas. You know, he's kind of learning from him. He seems to not have great range, but he's solid. He's solid over there. And if he's swinging the bat like he is since he returned from El Paso this year at the shortstop position next year, I'm good with that. But again, I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. All right, we got to take a break. Nice job, by the way. You were on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We got other things to talk about with the roster next year. You mentioned, you know, Myers and Kemp and Norris and Jerko. So many different potential moving pieces. And I think maybe the lineups that we see the rest of the way here could at least indicate a little bit, you know, different things that they're thinking about. So when we come back, we'll take a look at today's starting lineup, which is certainly a different looking starting lineup for
auditions.
The Padres. There you go. That's what September is all about. Hey, just one homestand left, and College Night presented by Uber is back again next Thursday, September 24th, when the Padres take on the Giants at 6:10. Got a DJ spinning all night long on the Budweiser patio. Tickets just $10 in advance at Padres.com/college, Padres.com/college. School is back, and so are College Nights. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the starting lineup for this afternoon's game in San Francisco right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Talking a little bit about next year, another John Heyman note from the weekend was he mentioned Melvin Upton Jr. as a potential platoon partner for Travis Jankowski in center field. Just kind of an interesting thing to chew on. Let's pull up today's starting lineup. It is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. All right, Solarte back in the leadoff spot. He's at third base. Jerko hitting second at short. Kemp and Upton normal 3-4. Brett Wallace getting the rare start. He's at first base batting fifth. Norris behind the dish will hit sixth. Amarista again at second batting seventh. Jankowski hits eighth in center field with Despaigne batting ninth. I don't know if this means we are now beyond the pitcher hitting eighth experiment.
No.
No, we're not?
No, because Despaigne is such a terrible hitter.
It doesn't matter, though.
Right. But I just think
you think it's a Despaigne thing,
yeah.
Not a
right. I think it's a Despaigne thing.
All right, so you got some interesting things in today's starting lineup.
Again, you got Jerko at second. I mean, at short, and Amarista at second. That tells me an awful lot that one, they're looking at Jerko at shortstop. Amarista no longer figures in there at all.
Yeah, at short.
Right. So now it's going to be his only shot next year, I figure, is as a utility player.
A true utility player. A guy that's going to start once a week maybe.
Right. And then if that's the case, you lose Clint Barmas probably because you don't need two guys there. And Barmas is one guy who I think is really valuable to this team.
Yeah. But, I mean, if he's not going to play.
Right.
You know, I get it. I certainly get it. All right, we'll take a break, come back, have our Supercuts head-to-head challenge, and wrap up this Sunday Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, final couple of minutes here. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Game 3 of the series in San Francisco coming up at 1:05. Mike Leake goes for the Giants, and Odrysimer Despaigne for the Padres. Time now for our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. It's close, man, as we come down the home stretch here. Just two wins separate Blooper and the couch. Somebody picks from the lineup, and whoever has the better pick wins a point. It's kind of that simple. Blooper's up first today. Who you got out of the Padres starting lineup?
Despaigne.
Oh!
Against the Giants. I like that.
Despaigne does historically do well against the Giants. The other night, not so great in relief. I don't know how many innings he's going to throw today, but okay.
I will just say that he has given up runs in six straight appearances.
You could take anybody from the offensive side here, and if they have like a home run and Despaigne only goes like three or four innings.
I think if they have a single.
Okay, so who you got?
I'm going to take Brett Wallace.
All right. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Wallace and Despaigne in the head-to-head challenge on Sunday, September 13th. That's going to do it for us. I'm out all week. I'll be with the team. Annie and Bill will be here tomorrow. 5 o'clock show with the 6:40 start in Arizona. Have a great day.